We continue to stand within the light of Easter, pondering what it all means for our lives and this world. So we are standing there with the disciples this morning after the resurrection when Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." And it is such a deep and comforting word. But that feeling does not last. Because then Jesus says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." That grace is an unmerited, an unconditional gift, but it comes with undeniable responsibility. The practice of forgiveness, though, at times, can seem as improbable as the resurrection. Tom Long, who was our Claude H. and Mary Virginia Moore lecturer a few years ago, tells the story of going to the library on campus at the seminary where he taught. And he's standing there at the circulation desk, checking out a couple books, when a friend and colleague walks up, and he's carrying this tall tower of books, and he sets it down on the circulation desk. And his friend teaches pastoral counseling. So he asks his friend, "What are you working on?" And his friend said, "Forgiveness." And Long, eyeing this tall stack of books, says, "Forgiveness? What are you trying to figure out?" And his friend said, "Well, I guess I'm trying to figure out if it exists." And perhaps that is why Jesus talks so often about forgiveness. That when the disciples ask, "How often should we forgive? 7 times? Jesus says, "No, 77 times. And when the disciples ask Jesus how to pray, Jesus says, "Pray like this. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And then when Jesus forgives the paralytic and he's criticized for it, Jesus says, "What is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or stand up and walk." And the man got up and walked away. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see the character of God. It is, as Stanley Hauerwas and Will Willimon have said, when we look at Jesus, we say, "This is the way God is." Forgiveness, though, is easier down there on the page than it is up here in the world around us, that it is hard work and it is heavy lifting. We might even question whether it works. Because when we look around at the world, we see that it can play by a very different set of rules. That we have to decide whether we're going to trust the ways of forgiveness. In the book, In the Kingdom of Ice, it talks about this expedition to an unknown region of the North Pole in the 19th century that the lieutenant, George DeLong, was leading the USS Jeannette on this expedition to an unknown area. And during the time before they left on this voyage, Dr. August Heinrich Petermann sat down and created maps of this unknown area of the North Pole. Specifically, he drew out a presumed safe passageway through the ice for the USS Jeannette. Well, when the ship arrived to that region of the North Pole, it quickly discovered the maps were wrong. Everything that they had presumed about this area of the world was incorrect. And we might be tempted to pick up those presumed maps sitting around us and thinking that we must follow them, assuming that forgiveness will not really work. The world is just too dog-eat-dog and survival of the fittest. But perhaps God has woven forgiveness into this world. That if this world was created by love, it might be inviting us into the practice of forgiveness. Like Thomas, though, we might hesitate. Like where Thomas said, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." And that word, unless, is quite powerful. Unless the person says the right things. Unless the person does the right things. Unless the person suffers punishment, I cannot forgive. And like Thomas, these are not inconsequential concerns. They speak to something that is important because there is a vulnerability in forgiveness. That we should not forgive like we are jumping off the high dive. That we forgive like we are wading into the waters slowly, unsure about how deep they are. That we should not forgive in such a way where we might be harmed. Because there are some crosses which only God should bear. But we wade into forgiveness because when we look at Jesus, we see how God really is. And forgiveness can lead us to a life without bitterness or resentment. Part of giving forgiveness It's also receiving it, which turns out to be even harder than giving it. Because we know of all those contradictions that we hold inside, that we are generous and stingy, we are kind and resentful, we are honest and deceptive, we are thoughtful and impulsive, we are caring and callous. It is why Anna Carter Florence says, "You cannot tell the whole truth about God until we have told God the whole truth about ourselves." And the truth is, God loves us no matter what. And if we can believe that about ourselves, perhaps we can offer forgiveness to others as well. The letter of 1 Peter is a letter of reassurance, and we are so thankful that Scripture is not a caricature of life, that it names the hills and the valleys. And the community of faith in 1 Peter is struggling with pressure and criticism from the outside. They feel as if they're living in exile, cut off from any support or encouragement from others. So this letter strives to provide that by saying, on the hard days, remember the newness of life that you have in the living hope of resurrection. And when you feel alone, remember the inheritance of God's goodness and grace, which never fades. And when you have lost your alleluia, remember the salvation of our souls and the forgiveness of God. That forgiveness is easier down there on the page. And we wade into those waters because of the strength and encouragement that we find in forgiveness, where we can live a life without resentment or bitterness. After seminary, we moved from North Carolina to Jackson, Mississippi. And it was shortly after that that I got a phone call in the church office. The person did not identify herself. She was not a church member, but she did have a question. And there was such pain and agony in her voice when she said, "Is there anything that I can do where God cannot or will not forgive me?" And I guess there are several ways to answer that question. Unless you say the right things, God cannot forgive you. Unless you do the right things, God will not forgive you. Unless you suffer punishment, God cannot forgive you. But Jesus said, "If you forgive the sins of others, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of others, they are retained." But if Jesus is the way God is, then we can set that word "unless" aside, knowing that there is nothing that we can do where God cannot or will not forgive us. Amen.